Have you ever looked at a route map and wondered why certain city pairs just don't have nonstop service? 9 times out of 10, it comes down to range. The airplane sitting at the gate simply can't carry enough fuel and enough passengers to make the math work. Well, Air Canada is about to change that equation, and the airplane doing it is worth your attention. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So let's talk about the Airbus A321 XLR. The XLR stands for extra long range, and that's not marketing fluff. This is the longest range single aisle commercial aircraft ever built. Air Canada has 16 of them on order, with the first deliveries expected later this year, and the routes they're planning tell you everything about why this airplane matters. Here's the background. Air Canada currently flies the Boeing 737 MAX 8 on a lot of its narrow-body routes. Good airplane efficient, but it tops out at around 3,400 nautical miles in a typical airline configuration. That's fine for domestic flights and short hops into the United States and the Caribbean, but it leaves a gap. There are dozens of transatlantic city pairs where demand exists, but it's not enough demand to fill a wide-body like a 787 Dreamliner, and the 737 MAX simply can't make the distance. Enter the A321 XLR with a range of roughly 4,700 nautical miles. That is a massive leap. We're talking about a single-aisle airplane that can fly from Montreal or Toronto to cities like Madrid, Lisbon, Rome, Athens, and beyond, nonstop. Now, why should you care about this if you're flying a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee on the weekends? A few reasons, and they're not obvious. First, this airplane changes the competitive landscape at airports you use. When airlines add transatlantic service from secondary hubs, it drives traffic. More traffic means more investment in airport infrastructure, which eventually flows down to general aviation facilities. Maybe not directly, maybe not quickly, but the economic ripple is real. Second, the A321 XLR represents a genuine shift in how airlines think about route economics. For decades, the model was simple. You needed a wide body to cross an ocean, period. The economics of putting 300 passengers in a 777 or a 747 made the per-seat cost work on long routes. But fuel efficiency has changed so dramatically in the last 20 years that a single-aisle jet with around 200 seats can now do what only twin-aisle aircraft could before. And the per-seat economics on these thinner routes actually pencil out better, because the airline isn't trying to fill 300 seats on a city pair that only generates 180 passengers a day. Air Canada has reportedly identified routes from both Toronto Pearson and Montreal Trudeau that become viable nonstop with this airplane. Think about destinations in Southern Europe, North Africa, and even parts of the Middle East, routes that today require a connection through a European hub like London or Frankfurt. The A321 XLR achieves this range through a permanent rear center fuel tank that's structurally integrated into the airframe. This isn't a bolt-on auxiliary tank. Airbus redesigned the rear fuselage section to accommodate it. The tank sits in what's essentially the lower cargo hold area behind the wing box, and it adds roughly 3,200 gallons of fuel capacity over the standard A321. That's a substantial amount of Jet A. There were some certification challenges along the way. Airbus had to demonstrate that the rear center tank met enhanced safety standards, including new fuel tank flammability rules that came out of lessons learned from the TWA Flight 800 investigation decades ago. The European Union Aviation Safety Agency, which is the European equivalent of the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, worked closely with Airbus on the certification, and the type certificate was awarded in 2024. For Air Canada specifically, the fleet plan is interesting. The airline is positioning the XLR not as a replacement for its widebodies, but as a complement. The 787 Dreamliner will continue flying the high-demand transatlantic routes, Toronto to London, Montreal to Paris. Those routes have enough traffic to fill a bigger airplane, but the XLR opens the door to thinner markets where a widebody would fly half empty. This is a strategy you're seeing across the industry. Aer Lingus, Iberia, United, and JetBlue have all shown interest in the XLR, or already have orders. The concept of a narrow body doing transatlantic work isn't new. Airlines have been flying the 757 across the Atlantic for years. But the 757 is a 50-year-old design that's being retired. The XLR is the modern successor to that capability, and it does it with significantly better fuel burn per seat. Here's what you need to know from an industry perspective. If this model works, and most analysts believe it, will expect to see more point-to-point international service from airports that currently only offer domestic and short-haul flying. That means more controlled airspace complexity in terminal areas, potentially more instrument approaches being designed at airports that gain international traffic, and yes, more TFR-style temporary restrictions around facilities handling international arrivals if customs and border infrastructure needs to expand. For Canadian pilots in particular, this is worth watching because Air Canada's XLR deployment could reshape traffic patterns at Pearson and Trudeau. More international narrowbody departures means more runway utilization spread across different times of day, which can affect general aviation access at those fields or satellite airports nearby. One more technical note that's worth appreciating. The A321XLR has a maximum takeoff weight of around 213,000 pounds for a single aisle airplane that is heavy. That's heavier than many 757s were at max gross. It requires beefed-up landing gear compared to the standard A321, and runway length requirements are longer. Airlines operating this airplane are going to need runways that can handle those weights, which is another factor in route planning. Air Canada expects to have the first XLR in service in late 2026, with the full fleet of 16 aircraft phased in over the following 2 to 3 years. If the economics prove out, don't be surprised to see a follow-on order. The broader trend here is unmistakable. The era of needing a wide body to cross an ocean is ending for medium demand routes. That changes airline economics, it changes airport planning, and over time, it changes the airspace environment we all share. This story came to us via Simple Flying. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower, clear skies, and we'll talk again soon.